Mount series number 17 this morning. And I want to preach on gloating givers. Gloating givers. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 38 to 42 this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38. No, that's not right. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. See, that wasn't the King James Version there. Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus Christ, as we've seen over the last few weeks, has been preaching and had been preaching extensively from the laws and talking about the laws and how the laws apply to us in Christ. Application of the laws in particular, but he changes direction and he begins to deal with the attitudes of the kingdom rather than the laws of the kingdom. Attitudes specifically here mentioned are the attitudes of our spiritual responsibilities or our religious duties. We all have responsibilities as God's people. We all have responsibilities not only towards God. We have responsibilities towards the church, and God says that we are to be responsible in doing those duties. We are especially to do them with the right attitudes. You know, attitude has a lot to do with the efficiency of our actions. And attitudes will determine whether our actions are done in the right way. As well. And I want to mention here as well that Christ goes right for the jugular. He goes right for the pocketbook. And he talks about our giving. You're going, Pastor, another message on giving. I'm just preaching the Bible. Amen. And when we think about giving, giving certainly is, and it can be, a rather difficult subject not only to preach on, but to listen to. You know, God wants us to be givers. And God has ordained certain facts about giving. God has made it possible that the pastor, like Paul said, those that preach the gospel should live according or live by the gospel. We can pay the pastor. We can pay for literature. We can pay for a building. We can pay for whatever is needed to run the church, to make sure the church is going the direction it needs to go. We can pay for missionaries. We can support missionaries. That's a biblical practice as far as money goes. But, you know, it's not just enough to give. And essentially, that's what Christ is saying here. It's wonderful to give. But it's just not enough to give if we are giving with the wrong attitude. And hopefully our attitude isn't, well, I'm giving this morning or I gave this morning because if I don't, pastor's going to preach on giving again. If I don't, I'm going to feel bad because I gave. There's a lot of bad attitudes. There's a lot of wrong attitudes when it comes to giving. And Christ goes right to this subject first in his change here of directions in his message. You know, money can be a wonderful thing. And money can also be a detriment. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but the attitude towards it. There was a woman, she was traveling abroad over in Europe, and she went there by herself. She was in Paris, and as she was one day walking through one of the shopping districts, she looked in the window of a particular jewelry store, and she saw this absolutely amazing bracelet. She fell in love with it. She had been looking for one just like it for so many years. And so she messaged back to her husband at home and she said, I have found a beautiful bracelet. She said, one that I've been looking for all my life. And it only cost, and I like it, only costs $7,500. Do you think I could buy it? Signed, your love and your sweetheart forever. her husband, looked at the message, and after he picked himself up off the floor, messaged back with a very short but firm reply, "No." He said, "Price is too high." So he sent the message off, but in sending the message, he didn't realize that he forgot to put a comma in the message. And when she received it, she read, "No price is too high." Oh, how thrilled she was. Omitting that little comma made a big difference. But how about our attitude towards giving? Do we have the attitude, "No price is too high"? Do we have the attitude that God wants us to have when it comes to giving? Let's stand together if you're able to, and we're going to read our text here, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, and the Bible says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you once again for the instruction that you're giving to us here. We thank you that you've shown us even though we may give, we can do it wrongly. We can do it selfishly. We can do it greedily. Or we can even do it covetously. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today and help us for your glory and for your honor. We'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name and amen. Please be seated. You know, most of the preaching I've ever heard over the years, you know, and I have not heard a whole lot of preaching, you know, when it comes to money. I you know, you go to various places and you hear it mentioned once in a while. A lot of times the pastor or evangelist, when they're preaching in another pulpit, they'll mention money. That way if somebody in the congregation gets mad at them, they can't find them and track them down and fire them, you know, or get mad at them, whatever it may be. And that's usually the case. And you know, when it comes to money, most of the problem and most of the preaching that we hear is on the problem of maybe not giving enough, not giving the way God expects us to give, maybe to make sure that we understand the principle of tithing, to make sure we understand the principle of faith promise giving, to make sure we understand about even the giving to building funds. Those are the three givings that are mentioned in the Bible. And, you know, a lot of times when we hear the preaching, we get all convicted maybe we're not giving enough. Maybe we're not giving as much as someone else. Or maybe we failed to give our tithe this week and we're put under a little bit of conviction. But that wasn't the problem here. The problem wasn't that these individuals weren't giving enough. In fact, I would assume by the text here that these individuals were giving large sums of money. And you're saying, "Pastor, isn't that a problem? Or is that a problem? People are giving large sums of money and there's a problem here?" Could you imagine if next week, you know, we had a special offering for the building fund and all of a sudden everybody's coming in with wheelbarrows of money? And somebody says that, "Well, we got a problem here." That's what Jesus is saying. These individuals, they were going to the temple with their wheelbarrows of money, and Jesus said, "There's a problem." You know, it's a wonderful thing when people give. It's a wonderful thing when God's people sacrifice. And you know what? I will say it and I will say it again. I praise God. I praise God for what He's done in this church. When I think back, you know, we've been here six and a half years. And the amount of money in about a two-year period that we were able to raise, we got to $200,000 in 2 years in our building fund. And not only do I praise God for that, that God has done that. And, you know, I know pastors. I know one pastor took over a church that had been going for 23 years already, and they had had a building fund going for 23 years. He took the church over, and he tried to promote that building fund. He tried to push that building fund. And in about five more years, it got it up to $15,000. Almost 30 years to get $15,000. And it's a blessing to see what God has done here. But more than that, more than just the giving of God's people, you know, we've never had somebody come up and say, do you know how much I gave? Do you know how much I put into that building fund? Do you know the sacrifices I've made over the years? And I'm saying that because I know pastors who have had people come up and do that. Now, I'll mention this later. I'll mention it now. I know a pastor who had a person leave a church. They had given about $40,000 or $50,000 to the building fund. And the next week, they showed up to church, and there was nothing in the bulletin about it. They weren't mentioned as being the givers of the benefactors of that money. And so they went to the pastor, and they said, why was there nothing said about the money we gave? And this lady wanted the money back. So what did the pastor do? You got to get that money back. She left. And you're saying, those are outrageous stories. And yeah, they're very isolated stories. But, you know, I praise God that we've had a lot of givers, and we've had a lot of good attitude givers. So I'm preaching to the choir this morning, because I think we've all got good attitudes here. Amen. But we're going through this. Maybe somebody, I don't know, needs this message. And I pray that if, you know, maybe we don't understand what Jesus is teaching here, that we'll get a better understanding of it. I just praise God for his goodness here. Amen. I praise God for the giving and the attitudes that God has given to the people of Calvary Road Baptist Church. Did I pray yet? I did? All right, I'm good. I'm preaching on money. Maybe we should pray again. No, I think we're good. So, number one, we'll get into our first point this morning, and that is, take heed. Now, as a Scotsman, the first thing I thought about when it said take heed is to take your son. You're saying, well, what does that mean? Well, heed in Scottish is head. And if you had a child that had a big head, you would call him heed. And you're saying, well, Pastor, that's ridiculous. Well, I do. I know people that called their kids heed. And so when I think of take heed, it means take your son with a big head. But we're not Scottish. We're English. Amen? So we just won't even go there. Pretend I never said that. Take heed. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. The words here, take heed, is the idea of pay attention, beware, or take great caution. There's a warning that Jesus Christ is giving to us. Beware, or be aware of the fact that we may do things right, but we may do those right things wrong. And that right thing we're supposed to do is giving alms, and the wrong way of doing it is to do it so that we're only going to get the praise of men and get noticed and get praised by people. The word alms doesn't necessarily occur in the Old Testament or in the law, but that is certainly found in the law. The principles are found there. In Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 35, the Bible says there, and if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that ye may live with thee. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 7, the Bible says, if there be amongst you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thine hand from the poor brother. It is a great thing, according to this to fulfill the law and fulfilling the needs of the poor. And alms giving was a specific giving. It was, let's say, or could we say, it was the welfare program in Bible times. And the Bible says that we're not to harden our heart against the poor, but we are to give to them. And even in Deuteronomy, it says, if they haven't got a home, let them live with you. Put them up. Find a room for them. The Bible says it again, it is a blessed thing to be able to help out those that are in need. So to give alms, to give to those that are in need. But we are in danger. And there is a danger. And this is where God says that we are to take heed. We're to beware. We're to pay attention of our motives in giving. We need to pay attention and take notice as to the motive and whether we're worried or wondering about what men or people are going to think. Number two, I want to look at this, sound the trumpet. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, in Bible times, it was a common practice whenever in the New Testament times, it would be usually a Roman official, whether it was a governor or whether it was a magistrate or a proconsul or whoever it be. If somebody of importance was entering into a city, they were preceded by trumpets. Whenever they went into an area, whenever they went into that town, that particular person of importance would have people before him playing trumpets. So could you imagine one day sitting, you know, you're in your kitchen and you're having breakfast. And it's nice and quiet and you can hear the birds singing. And it's just one of those beautiful, peaceful mornings. And all of a sudden you hear the trumpets. You hear the commotion. You hear the crowd. And you know that someone special is coming. And you say, forget my eggs and forget my bacon. Well, the Jews would be eating bacon, but forget my eggs and my toast. I got to go see out. I got to get outside. I've got to see what's going on. And so these individuals would leave their house and they would go out into the streets and they would watch as these trumpeters went by. And they'd be looking down the road anxiously and waiting to see who that important person was, who this person that is in such high estate that there must be a grand announcement to find out who exactly it is. And so they would come through, and then that individual, that person of importance, would be seen by everyone. And people would go back into their cold eggs and their cold toast and say, boy, I am so glad that I was able to see that person today. And off they would go into the streets. And I think it's important for us to understand that even when Jesus Christ comes, when he's going to return again, when the King of Glory comes back to this earth, the Bible says that he will come and the trumpets will precede his coming. People say, you don't believe they're literal trumpets, do you? I said, well, I believe in a literal Jesus, don't you? And I believe there's going to be literal trumpets. There's going to be the sound of the trumpet. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The trumpets, they were used to communicate. They were used to tell people that someone important is coming. And the Bible says that these particular hypocrites, the Bible says, when they were going to give their money, when they were going to do their alms, they brought the trumpeters along. And I wondered how important they really thought they were. These individuals They wanted everyone to know. They brought their money, and again, the Bible doesn't say, but the context is clear. They wanted people to know they were giving. And they wanted them to know how much. The Bible doesn't say they were carrying them in wheelbarrows, you know, all of that money. But the Bible does clearly state here that all of these people were to see the fact that they were giving money. Look at us. Look at me. I'm going to the temple, and I'm giving all of this money to the poor. And I want people to recognize me. I want people to understand what I'm doing and see what I'm giving. So that when I'm walking back, maybe some people will pat me on the back and say, wow, that was really generous. Wow, that was incredible. Yet the Bible says there that they will have their reward. And I believe that these individuals, they will get their reward. But they will lose the reward that God has for them. You know, the Bible has a lot of sayings. A lot of sayings that we use today. You know, he brought the house down and all of these different sayings. One of those sayings that comes right from the Bible that we say quite often is he's blowing his own horn. And that's where this comes from. They're sounding their own trumpets. And I believe that when we give or when we do any righteous acts for God with the wrong motive, there will be no reward. They got their reward. Their reward may have been a pat on the back. Their reward may have been their names in the bulletin of the synagogue that weekend. Their reward may have been people just thinking more highly of them. But the Bible, I think, is clear that they will have no reward. Because the reward is going to be different for those that give properly and with the right attitudes. You know, people in church or churches who give a lot of money, even today we have people that feel that they have certain amounts of say. Another story, I remember hearing a pastor once at a conference, and they were having a big money drive as well. They were trying to raise money. I think it was for a building fund as well. It was, in fact, for a building fund. And they had a particular man, and this is going back 23 years. They had a man who came up and said, "Pastor, I'm willing to give $200,000 to the building fund." And that was a lot of money. It's still a lot of money, by the way. But back in 23 years ago, that was an incredible amount of money. You could almost build a church in Toronto for that price. But he said, "Pastor, I'm willing to give you this money, but there are some stipulations." He said, I want certain amounts of say in what I'm going to do. I want to be able to do things my way. If I'm going to give this money, I want the final say." What do you think the pastor did? He said, "Keep your money. God doesn't need your money. Not with that attitude anyways. And, you know, I want. You see, when we give with an expectation of return, we're giving for the wrong reasons. We should not give for the purpose of reward. We should not give for the purpose of power or authority. And these individuals, they were doing just that. And my third point is this: it's communication breakdown. Now, we can say, you know, communication is pretty important. But here, this communication breakdown is a positive one. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself." Now, I want you to notice that. "Thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." there was a temple, there was, sorry, in the temple, an area or a spot that was known as the Chamber of Secrets. And it was there that the people would come to give their secret alms, give their alms privately. But it wasn't just the individuals who would go there and give in secret. It was also the individuals who got the money who would do it in secret as well. There were some things that the people just didn't need to know. They didn't need to know who was giving, and they didn't even need to know who was receiving. And Christ said that our right hand is not to know what the left hand is doing. There shouldn't be communication. In other words, the benefactor is not to be known by the beneficiary, and the beneficiary is not to be known by the benefactor. We just really don't need to know. It's not important. God doesn't want us to know. And this is a positive communication breakdown. Charles Spurgeon is known for a lot of things. He's known to be the Prince of Preachers. He's known for starting orphanages and a Bible college. His works are sought after. Many of his writings, he wrote many, many volumes of books. But there's something about the Spurgeons that isn't quite as well known. The Spurgeons had some chickens. And when their chickens would lay eggs, they would sell their chickens, but they would never give them away. They were never once ever known to give their eggs to anyone, not even their own family. And for years, the Spurgeons would come under attack by people calling them stingy and cheap and money-hungry individuals. And never once over the lifetime of the Spurgeons did they ever defend themselves against these accusations. They just simply accepted the criticism without defending themselves. And it was only after Mrs. Spurgeon died that the full story was actually revealed. All of the profits from the sale of the eggs went to support two elderly widows in their community. Because the Spurgeons were unwilling to let their left hand know what the right hand was doing, they simply endured the attacks silently. They just went about doing alms. You know, there's a reward, a better reward in what they did than these individuals that Jesus Christ is talking about who wanted everyone to know. We're selling the eggs because we're giving alms to these people. I just want everyone to know the wonderful work that we're doing. Well, Spurgeon believed in being biblical. And it wasn't anyone's business what he was doing with that money. And they were ridiculed for it. They were attacked by the media for it. Yet their reward is greater than the reward of those individuals that were begging and boasting and blowing trumpets and letting the world see their benevolence. You know, there's great reward in giving. There's personal satisfaction. And there's joy in seeing others blessed. You know, could you imagine the reward in just this, if we stop and think about it for a minute? The personal reward that they would have received knowing that they were supporting these two widows and giving them a comfortable life. That reward alone would be satisfactory, but there are more rewards. Another story is told about two brothers who bought a farm, and they divided the farm and divided the income. One of the brothers had a large family, while the other brother was single. And one night, the single farmer, knowing his brother was struggling because of the extra expenses of raising a family, bought a box of goodies for the family, toys and other things, and he set off for their house, planning to leave the box there secretly. That same night, the married farmer, knowing his single brother didn't have the joys of family life, set out for his house with a box of homemade goodies, baked goods, and wonderful treats, and he was going to leave it there in secret. The brothers met each other en route to do their errands. And when they realized what the other was going to do, they simply embraced in tears, understanding the great reward that God had for them. There is reward in giving, and God wants us to realize that we may not see the praise of our giving. We may not see it here, but we will see it one day. That word, and I like this, that word there, but when thou givest, that word thou is emphatic. And by the way, I just got to throw this little disclaimer in there. I'm glad for the these and the thous, amen? Because when he said this, when you see in the King James Bible, when you see a thee or a thou, that is singular. When you see a you or a ye, that is plural. So, our English today, we don't have a second person plural. So we have to just make up things like y'all or yous. You read a common modern version today, and you have no idea who Jesus is talking to. If he's talking to you or if he's talking to you. Jesus said, but when thou givest, you as an individual, emphatically. And again, I like this. He said, you know, we've got these guys over here, these hypocrites, that are sounding these trumpets, blowing their own horns, making a big deal out of all that they give so that they can be praised by men. He said, you aren't like that. He said, when you give, do it in secret. Don't worry about people knowing. Because there's going to be a greater reward than a pat on the back. You know, we're going to stand one day before God. The Bible says there that God is going to give us that reward openly. That reward is going to come from God's hand. God's own hand. And I would rather get a pat on the back by God than a pat on the back by you. Nothing personal. Amen. And we need to simply just realize that, you know, not all of the things that we do for the Lord are going to be recognized here. But we've got to realize that there's a God in heaven who keeps an account, who knows what we've done. There's a God in heaven who knows our attitude and our attitude towards the wheelbarrows of money that we're going to all bring in next week. Probably not. But, oh, ye of little faith. God is good. And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I like to believe, I think Calvary Road Baptist Church, we are the thous. We are the thous. When we give, we don't have anyone here that's ever gloated or demanded or wanted everybody to know what they've given. And like I said, obviously, we've had a lot of givers in our church. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord, and you have got a special reward in heaven. Let's give out of a heart of gratitude. Let's give the way Christ desires us to. Let's pray together. together. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to give and the privilege of being able to give, and even these alms giving, this offering for the poor. Lord, we need to give sacrificially, without reward, without desiring return. Whenever we go about our religious responsibilities, our spiritual duties, no matter what they are, and as we will see over the next couple of weeks, there are other duties and other responsibilities that we need to do with the right attitudes. And so, Father, we again are grateful for this church. I'm grateful, Lord, for the givers and the attitudes of the people that you've saved and brought into this church. God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for all that you're continuing to do. And Lord, I do pray as well, and again, this message has been towards Christians, but I do pray if there's someone here today that does not know Christ, I pray that today they would make the decision to trust him. I pray that the young people downstairs would come to that same knowledge and understanding of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So would you bless our service, bless our altar call as we have this time of invitation. If you need to come, maybe you just got to come and praise the Lord for what he's allowed you to do. Maybe you need to just come and pray and thank God for the giving of Jesus Christ. Whatever it may be, the altar is open. Let's stand to our feet. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen.